Welcome to the Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from Community Action Week.
Yeah, thankfully it's exciting, you know. I've got good news to share. Could be a lot. No, we're good. So, this past couple of months, as we've been in the 2011-2012 calendar that we operate in, I've got some updates to share with you of all the things that Valley has done for our community. The first one, kicking off in the summer, we had the Hope Kids Suburban Adventure, which was on June 4th. The Hope Kids Suburban Adventure is a run-walk fundraiser, and we have families there in attendance, families who have a child with cancer or another life-threatening condition. And in addition to the Hope Kids families that are at the run-walk, we have Hope Kids supporters, many of which were people from Valley. Their support through running in the 5 and 10K, volunteering. We had a bunch of volunteers, and then we also had people that gave actually a total of $450 for that event. The Suburban Adventure that happens every summer is Hope Kids' biggest fundraiser of the year. So it really does mean a lot that Valley chooses to support that. Another project that we had this summer, kind of wrapping up the summer actually, was our annual furniture drive benefiting students, international students at the U of M campus. The drive, or this whole event, is actually coordinated by McLaurin CSF. And it's an amazing outreach ministry that they do, helping furnish the apartments of these international students who have come so very far with so very little. So it's a way that they serve them and get them plugged in the community and give them a glimpse of Christ. And Valley came through big time. We had 70 furniture items and household items, which I know it's hard to wrap around, but this is a truck that was absolutely packed to the brim. And to give you another illustration of how big of an impact this was, the morning that we brought our truckload to their site that they were going to be distributing that day, we tripled the size of the donations that they were able to offer the international students. So that was huge. Another, at the same time that we were collecting furniture for CSF, we were also collecting furniture for our refugee family. We now know that they are coming December 7th. We've been anxiously awaiting their arrival. And, you know, with these donations that we got from them, there are also household and furniture items. We are able to basically help make their apartment a home. They've been living in a refugee camp for 14 years. So when they come here, they're going to have a fully furnished apartment. And, you know, I just have to say, I was so excited about this project. It was our first time. It's our first time doing this project. Requires a lot of help. Julie Janator, Lori Thompson, they've been working diligently, and they needed the help of our church body, and our church body stepped up big time. So there's other opportunities for service in that. I just wanted to mention. And another thing to mention is we found out that Dulo, that's the father of the family that's coming, unfortunately he stepped on a landmine when he was in Burma, and so he doesn't have part of his right leg. So we're looking for a wheelchair to help him just be more mobile when he gets here. So if anybody has a wheelchair that they can offer, please see me after the service in the atrium. So those were projects that happened the past couple months. Now I get to talk about this Community Action Emphasis Week. Like we said, on Wednesday, it was the Teen Challenge visit where we had a choir of about 40 members here singing, sharing their stories of hope, and also just telling their testimonies. And we had about 130 people here for dessert and fellowship, and also had an offering where we raised $1,300, which is huge. So thank you so much, everyone who came to that and was warm and welcoming to the Teen Challenge Choir, and also for the generous donation. And so now we get to talk about some things that we talked about last week, where I was kind of trying to get everybody, you know, rah-rah, get ready for our goals. And the Echo Park Elementary School, we have a goal of 750 books for the students of that school. On Friday, I took a moment to count the number of books that we had received. These were donations we received last Sunday and then through the week, and we had 750 books on Friday. So that doesn't include the donations we received today. We could be at 1,000. We could be more. I don't know. But if we can get the students at that school 2 books each, that's awesome. That's awesome. So this drive actually is going to be going through next Sunday, the 27th. We decided to push it out a little bit. So if you didn't get your donations in today and you want to, we'll be here next week. And also, 360 communities. That's another thing that we've extended through next week. We were shooting for 1,000 pounds of food and other household items, like hygiene items and things like that. We've got it all collected out in the atrium. So this is just an educated guess. We don't know for sure what we've got, but we feel pretty good that we've got 1,300 pounds. Again, that was as of a couple days ago, not including what's been brought today. So we're very excited about the way the church has stepped up to just, you know, help families that are in our community that need those extra resources. And then finally, the blood drive. The blood drive, I got to tell you, I was a little worried a week ago when we were needing to fill up the slots, and we had a goal of 39 units of blood that we wanted to give to the American Red Cross, and we ended up with 55. 55 units of blood. So what that translates to is a potential to save 165 lives. This is real, live, tangible gift. So thank you so much to everybody who helped make that a huge success. And really, for all these projects that we've done the past week and the past months, I really am encouraged by that. You know, if you haven't taken in a moment last week or today, please stop by in the atrium and just see our table where we've got listed all the organizations that Community Action supports. You also can talk with anybody on our committee. It's Ted Tellman, Kim Johnson, Kathy Plumley, Jennifer Peters, Debbie Wellerman. We would love to talk with you about ways that you can get plugged in, not only with the ministries that we've mentioned, but also other things like our literacy volunteers or, again, refugee resettlement, Good in the Hood food distribution. We would love to help you find a place to get involved, and you can get involved in any manner of ways, particularly your time. We're always interested in that. I just wanted to real quick recap what it is that why it is that Community Action does what we do. It's plain and simple. It's because we want to help make our community a better place. And, you know, when we look at our group here at Valley, in terms of people across the world, we're a relatively small group of people, but we've made a large impact. I think you agree. So, you know, there's a big difference between just showing up at church and being the church. And I just am very pleased with the way that our group continues to step up and serve where we see needs. So thank you so very much for that.
God, thank you for your goodness toward us. And we pray, God, that we would not only receive your goodness, that we would not only believe the good news, but that we would become the good news. Speak to us now as we open the word. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to start right in Romans, the 10th chapter. These are words written by the Apostle Paul. This section of these verses in chapter 10 are pretty well known. You can't go to a church that is interested in reaching out to the world and not hear these verses at some point. They're very evangelistic. They're very go into the world kind of verses. In the chapter that Paul writes these verses, he's really sharing his concern for the lost. And he's particularly concerned for his own people, the Jewish people, that he's feeling a lot of concern that they're missing out on what could be theirs in Jesus. And so he's sharing a lot of his heart and his compassion for the lost, whether they're Jews or Gentiles, okay? And we say these words are written by the Apostle Paul. Little Bible quiz. The word apostle, does somebody know what the word apostle means? One sent out, okay? So it means sent one. It means, so when you send someone, they're apostled out. So Paul saw himself as one who was sent. And so we're not surprised that Paul, when he talks about Christ, he talks about Jesus as the one who was sent to us, right? And when he talks about the church, Paul talks about the church being sent into the world, the church being the people of God who are going into the world. He says this starting in verse 14 of chapter 10. How then can they, and here he's talking about the lost, the people who don't know Christ, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you see, Paul, he sees what God is doing in the world. And Paul, in these first verses, is saying, we have a role to play in God's redemptive work in the world. Do you see that? Because God loves the world. God's reaching out. God's redeeming. God's reconciling. But how can you believe in someone you've never heard of? And how can someone preach this name of Jesus if they're not sent? So Paul says, when he asks this series of questions, what he's saying by implication is, we've got to get involved in this mission, in this proclaiming of the good news. And then he says, he quotes Isaiah when he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's a direct quote. What he could have said, how beautiful is the church that understands it's called to be the good news. How beautiful is the person who not only responds to the gospel, but becomes the gospel. How beautiful is the one who is sent. How beautiful is the church that goes. Okay? And so in these verses here, Paul's setting up, and we're not surprised that someone who's called the Apostle Paul is very interested in what it means to be sent into the world. And so from those verses, a couple of observations that if you and I are being redeemed and sanctified through Christ, in other words, if we are being made holy, if we are responding to the good news of the gospel, then we need to become a living testimony of His grace. In other words, our job as Christians is not just to believe something, it's to become something. Amen? It's not just to hear the good news, it's to live the good news. We're not just called to respond to the gospel, we're called to be the gospel. Our lives are supposed to be the gospel on display. Our church is a working lab where anybody can come in and test the data and see the results that there is something active and alive happening here. Our church should be a place that something so alive that's happening here is spilling outside of these walls, spilling outside of our church community. It's spilling into the world. It's making a difference so that people start having an idea. They might say, I don't really understand Christianity. I don't really know Jesus. But that group of people over there that wear His name, they're good for us. They make this a better place. The gospel is not just something to hear or believe. It's something to become. And so when we follow Paul's train of thought through the rest of chapter 10 and through all of chapter 11, we finally get to Romans 12, and where we see some other verses we're very familiar with. And of course, this verse starts with our word, our Bible word, therefore, right? And what's the principle of biblical interpretation? When we see the word therefore, we ask ourselves, what's it there for? Exactly. And so Paul is going to take this concept. We've heard Romans 12:1. I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. We've heard that verse, but we need to remember the therefore. And Paul is connecting this verse. Paul's going on saying, we need to go into the world. We need to be praying for the lost. We need to be a living testimony of the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to offer yourselves, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, or as the new translation, this is your true and proper worship. You notice that the Apostle Paul here says, I urge you, because of our mission, because of our calling, because of what God's doing in the world, I urge you, offer your bodies. Think about that. He doesn't say, offer your respect, offer your faith, offer your belief. What's he say? Offer your body. Does the body, you know, lots of times I've noticed people, they think of the heart and the mind and the will and our beliefs. That's where faith is. That's where the gospel is. Bodies, that's kind of mundane and everyday. No, listen, the gospel reaches into the everyday. And Paul urges us to offer our bodies because our bodies are given to us as our place of business, our place of interaction in the world. I mean, think about it. You have no body, it's pretty hard to do anything. You know? No, if you don't have the body, forget being the life of the party. You know, if you don't have a body, forget having many friends. You see, because your body is the place where your personhood intersects with the world. Your body is the vehicle through which God gives you a place to be and do. And so it's not surprising to me that when we see the therefore here, Paul's saying, we're called to go. We're called to be. We're sent into the world. Of course he's thinking about bodies. You can't go without a body. He says, we have a mission, and our mission is to make a difference in the world, so offer your place in the world. Offer this to God as a spiritual sacrifice. That's worship. You know, worship isn't some idea or a feeling or a song. I mean, those might have some, they might be involved, but worship is ultimately a thing you live. It's a thing you are. And so he goes on, he says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, that living the gospel means living a life that's changing. Did you hear that? To be the gospel, you have to be in transformation. You see, the gospel isn't just that you're miserable, you're broken, but God loves you anyway. That's part of the gospel. That's a good entry point. That's only the first part of the gospel. It gets to be better news than that. The good news is you don't have to be stuck in brokenness and death and dying and fear and despair. You can change. There's hope. And so we see that the proper response to God's mercy is surrender. And so we could all stand up and sing, I surrender all, or we've heard this idea of surrender. But notice it's what does surrender mean? It means we surrender to his redemptive will and purpose. In other words, to give my life to the Lord, to surrender my life to the Lord isn't just a symbolic thought. It's a real thing you do. It's a real thing where you say, I see that the Lord is trying to do these things in the world, that this is God's mission. This is what God wants to see done. When you think of God's will, phrase it like that. What does God want done? That's God's will. And so when we say, I'm surrendering my life to Christ, what we're saying is, what he wants done is what I want done. What he would do is what I would do. I want to live my life so surrendered to Christ that my life looks as though it were a life he was living. True worship is something we live. And the gospel of Jesus, listen, the gospel of Jesus is a message of possibility, of renewal, of transformation. You know, when we have the Teen Challenge Choir here, it's always very bittersweet for me. I'm so thankful when I see that group. I'm so thankful there is a program like that. I'm so glad that there are people who are radically committed to reaching out to that group of people who are suffering. You know, whether it's a self-inflicted wound or whether it's the wounds that have been inflicted on them by others. You know, I'm so glad to see, I hear their songs, I hear their testimonies. But there's a bitter part of it too, because even in the back of the room, I can stand there and I can see in the eyes. I can see in the postures. I can see in the social interaction before and after the concert. There is a level of brokenness and despair that is mind-boggling. And I think, I really hope these people are hearing the whole gospel. I'm so glad that they have come to a place where they see that God accepts them for who they are. I hope they hear the rest of the gospel, that through Christ and the power of His Spirit, there is so much more they can be. You hear me? Because when we do community action, we need to be constantly on guard against a half-gospel approach. A half-gospel approach that says, hey, God loves you. God's reaching out to you. We see your hunger. We see your pain. We see your illiteracy. We see your substance abuse. We see your poverty, whatever. And so we're here to just do a little gesture of kindness toward you. That's beautiful. And you can find churches everywhere doing it. What really breaks my heart is when I see good people, good Christians, doing that, and they're only giving people the first half of the gospel. If I'm hungry, by all means, give me the first half of the gospel. I need a sandwich. But I also need a Savior. I also need something to change. I need something broken to get fixed. And so, as I said, in our church family, as we respond to Christ and as we live the gospel and as we are no longer conforming to the pattern of this world, but we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. You know what that is? That's a testimony. If we can change, anybody can change. The gospel is not just that God loves us miserable though we are. The gospel is God loves us miserable though we are, and beautiful we can become. There is life and hope. And if we are only giving people acceptance and grace and mercy, that's fine. But it's not fine if we don't get to hope and power and change. The good news of Jesus is a message and possibility of renewal and transformation. And as we are renewed and transformed, we become able to live the good news. Our lives become shaped by God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. And of course, the Apostle Paul doesn't just get up there and say all these lofty, theological, expansive ideas. Paul's great at that, right? I mean, you pick up your New Testament and you go ahead and turn to Colossians and you're going to start with, He is the image of the invisible God. You turn to Ephesians, you're going to see He's at the right hand of the Father and He has glorious grace. You're going to see all that. But by the time you get to chapter 4, it's going to be, and so sit down, this is what we're going to do. You see, the gospel is never a bunch of glorious ideas. It's glorious ideas that show themselves in everyday mundane activity. It's not just the beauty and the expansive views. It's the nuts and bolts that hold us together. And so when we go a little further down in Romans 12, we see Paul saying that our love must be sincere, that we should hate what is evil, we should cling to what is good, we should be devoted to one another in love, we should honor one another above yourselves, that we should never be lacking in zeal, but we should keep our spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And I put that in yellow there because that's the heart of what I want to focus on. We want the DNA of our Valley Christian experience to include a vibrant and vigorous, where words like fervor and zeal. We want to care about making a difference in the world. We want to serve the Lord with fervor and zeal. But you know what it takes to have a truly sustainable zeal and fervor? It means your love's got to be the real love. It means you got to hate what is evil. You got to look at the stuff that's messing us up and say, I hate that. And you have to turn away from it. And you have to look at the stuff that would make us better and lift us up in the Lord and say, I'm clinging to that. You have to say that community matters. You know, if you are an individual and you are so individual, you don't feel connected to anybody else in this church, you are diminishing the possibility of zeal and fervor for Christian service. Because you know what we do with each other? We lift each other up. We care for each other. We honor each other. We hold each other accountable. We pat each other on the back. We kick each other in the hind end. And we say, as a family, let's stir one another up toward love and good deeds. Zeal, sincerity, honesty, community, being joyful in hope, verse 12, being patient in affliction, being faithful in prayer. These are the things that make us useful. These are the things that make us not just believers of the good news, but vessels of the good news. We become good news. He says, share with the Lord's people, practice hospitality, bless with those who persecute, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud. Don't be uppity. Be willing to associate with anybody. Don't be conceited. Don't repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right. Be at peace with everyone as much as it's up to you. You see, all of those things in orange that I put up there, they're all the nuts and bolts that serve to make us a church that is zealous and vigorous and on fire for what God's trying to do through us for our community. You know, sometimes we come to church and we think, Lord, I'm here so you can be a blessing to me. And the Lord is saying, that's fine. I hope you'll grow up and that you start coming here so that you'll be a blessing to the world. That's the difference between junior Christians and really mature Christians. Junior Christians, entry-level Christians, so those of you who are just getting started, you're coming here to get some stuff fixed in you. Some of you who are growing in the Lord, you're figuring out, the best thing I can do for me is start living for somebody else than me. As we're transformed by God and as we're able to recognize His will and work in the world, we'll join Him in it. Our zeal, our spiritual fervor, our service will express itself through, and all these words are based on the orange words we just saw, sincerity, integrity, community, consistency, generosity, hospitality, humility, harmony. That's what a church looks like that's able to take action in the name of Jesus because they are becoming the good news. Not just hearing the good news, not just saying the good news, not just believing the good news, but actually living the good news. May that be the church we become. Let's pray. Father, you are such good news for us. Thank you so much for Jesus, the one you sent to save, to renew, to transform us. May we surrender so completely to him that taking action in his name is just as natural as breathing. It's in that name we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do that, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around and find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.